From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Two people have died and a dozen left injured in Toronto, Canada, after a gun-toting man walked through a popular neighborhood shooting into restaurants. The gunman has also died. The shooting began at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday night in Greektown, Toronto. Witnesses captured the sounds of shots. Police are investigating the shooting spree and struggling to understand the shooter's motive. The shooter is also dead, although it is unclear whether it was by his own hands or the police's. One witness described the suspect as, quote, a white male in his 30s wearing black clothing. Unlike the responses of elected officials in the U.S. in the wake of a mass shooting, Toronto's Mayor John Tory clearly identified guns as the problem, saying, quote, we have a gun problem in that guns are readily available to too many people. The police are doing their best, but they're operating under extraordinarily difficult circumstances to deal with these guns. And we'll see what they conclude from this case, but it's evidence of a gun problem, clearly. In Southern California, where this program is based, an armed standoff in a Trader Joe's store in Silver Lake ended in one person dead and several wounded when a man being chased by police crashed his car and ran into the store on Saturday. Associated Press described the incident sparking from, quote, a feud between a man and his grandmother over his girlfriend staying at the grandmother's home. 28-year-old Gene Evan Atkins is suspected to have shot his grandmother and his girlfriend before being chased by police and barricading himself in the Silver Lake Trader Joe's, where a hostage situation then ensued. Store manager Melita Corrado was killed in the exchange of gunfire between police and Mr. Atkins. Here's one of the store workers commenting to CNN on Saturday.
Quick thinking on your part. Do you train for this? Is this something that you keep in the back of your mind?
I think it's just an unfortunate state of today that, you know, I'm always trying to just be cognizant of exits and emergency ways out.
That's a Trader Joe's staffer speaking to CNN during the hostage situation on Saturday. The suspect, Atkins, is being held on a $2 million bail. In spite of the U.S.'s epidemic of deadly gun violence, the National Rifle Association is suing the city of Seattle in Washington over its safe storage gun law that fines gun owners up to $10,000 for not safely storing firearms in the interest of children's public safety. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan said about the NRA, while they go to court, kids go to the hospital. President Donald Trump has escalated a war of words with Iran over the weekend, tweeting an all-caps threat on Sunday after Iranian President Hassan Rouhani remarked, quote, America must understand well that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace and war with Iran is the mother of all wars. Mr. Trump took umbrage at Rouhani's words and responded on Twitter on Sunday to Iranian President Rouhani, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. Iran shrugged off the capitalized threat. In a speech in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo castigated Iran's government.
These hypocritical holy men have devised all kinds of crooked schemes to become some of the wealthiest men on earth while their people suffer. The level of corruption and wealth among Iranian leaders shows that Iran is run by something that resembles the mafia more than a government. The specific grievances do differ, but all those voicing dissatisfaction share one thing. They have been ill-treated by a revolutionary regime. Iranians want to be governed with dignity, accountability, and respect. It seems the world has become desensitized to the regime's authoritarianism at home and its campaigns of violence abroad. But the proud Iranian people are not staying silent about their government's many abuses. And the United States, under President Trump, will not stay silent either.
That's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking about Iran on Sunday in D.C. Reuters on Friday published an expose of a concerted U.S. campaign to foment criticism of Iran. Based on anonymous sources, the outlet found that, quote, the Trump administration has launched an offensive of speeches and online communications meant to foment unrest and help pressure Iran to end its nuclear program and its support of militant groups. Reuters also said, quote, the Trump campaign paints Iranian leaders in a harsh light, at times using information that is exaggerated or contradicts other official pronouncements, including comments by previous administrations. On our show tomorrow, Reese Ehrlich will join us to analyze what's happening with the U.S. and Iran. Meanwhile, the president continues to be dogged by news of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. After Friday's bombshell revelation that his personal lawyer Michael Cohen had secretly taped conversation with Trump regarding payments to a Playboy model named Karen McDougal in September 2016, a lawyer for Stormy Daniels now says there are more such tapes. Michael Avenatti, the outspoken attorney representing Ms. Daniels, said in an ABC interview on Sunday that that tape is, quote, ultimately going to prove to be a big problem for the president. You know that old adage, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. One of Trump's current lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, dismissed the tape, saying it would not harm the president. Surprisingly, Trump's attorneys had waived attorney-client privilege, allowing the tapes to be used in the investigation, even though Trump tweeted that a lawyer taping his client was, quote, totally unheard of and perhaps illegal. As the news of Cohen's secret tape came to light, so did an inquiry into a media company that's being investigated by prosecutors in New York for buying the rights to Ms. McDougal's story. American Media, Inc., which owns the National Enquirer, is also being investigated by the Federal Election Commission. And the company, according to the New York Times, quote, acted more as a political supporter than as a news organization, according to people briefed on the investigation. Meanwhile, documents released on Saturday under the Freedom of Information Act showed that the FBI requested permission from a FISA court to wiretap a Trump campaign advisor named Carter Page because, as per the FBI, Mr. Page, quote, has been collaborating and conspiring with the Russian government and that the FBI believes Page has been the subject of targeted recruitment by the Russian government. Trump responded angrily on Twitter that the documents confirm with little doubt that the Department of, quote, Justice and FBI misled the courts, witch hunt rigged a scam! Trump then returned to doubting his own intelligence agency's findings on Russian interference in the 2016 election after a week of trying to mollify his own party, saying it was a hoax multiple times and blaming President Obama and his election rival Hillary Clinton. Trey Gowdy, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, in an interview on Sunday, defended intelligence findings. The Republican lawmaker said the president either needs to rely on the people that he has chosen to advise him, or those advisors need to reevaluate whether or not they can serve in this administration. The evidence is overwhelming, and the president needs to say that and act like it. 14 people have been killed in a suicide attack in Kabul, Afghanistan, near the country's main airport. The attack may have been aimed at the warlord and vice president Abdul Rashid Dostum, who was returning from a trip abroad. The dead included civilians and military personnel. About 50 people were injured in the attack. Mr. Dostum was unscathed. The Islamic State, which has increasingly been active in Afghanistan, claimed responsibility. In Syria, where the Islamic State first emerged, hundreds of rescue workers were evacuated near the Israeli border. More than 400 members of the White Helmets rescue operation were transported with coordination between Israel, the U.S., and Europe in a first-of-its-kind operation. The rescue group's members were trapped between Syrian government forces and the Islamic State's soldiers. Associated Press described the context of the operation, saying, quote, the White Helmets have enjoyed backing and received finances and training from the United States and other Western nations for years because of their work in opposition areas where they were almost exclusively the only ones to offer rescue services in the face of the government military advances. They were considered public enemy number one by the Syrian government. And that does it for today's headlines.